Hoping your hearts are warmed up by now from this lovely cold day. Our family had a short trip to Florida to celebrate my mom's 90th birthday last weekend, and it was a great, great weekend. It was a little warmer than here, so I won't rub that in, but it's wonderful to be back with you as we continue on through the narrative lectionary. We're in the Gospel of Matthew. Hopefully you remember that, and this is chapter 5, and we're actually going to start in chapter 4 today because I think it gives great context to the Beatitudes when you think about the people that gathered that day to listen to Jesus as he gave his sermon from the Mount. So listen to God's word for us today. Kind of transcend back many centuries. Imagine that you were there that day listening to these words. Beginning at verse 23 of chapter 4. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. In chapter 5, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, again, we thank you so much for your Spirit that comes to us at our baptism and then continues to fill us with hope, with the promise, Lord, that you are so faithful to us through those days in which we struggle, where we have concerns and burdens, and that you invite us to this place, a place of refuge, a place of strength, a place where we can rejoice together and be glad. For your goodness is always better than the evil in our world. So we praise you and we thank you. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. So Alice McKenzie is a writer, a preacher, and she's also, like many of us, on social media. And so one day, when she was checking on her Facebook account, she noticed that the musician George Strait wanted to be her friend. She wasn't especially partial to George Strait, but her heart kind of went aflutter to the fact that this famous musician wanted to be her friend on Facebook. And so she looked a little bit more, and to her disappointment, she realized not that George Strait wanted to be her friend, but that he wanted her to be a fan of his and to follow him on Facebook to increase, right, his fan base. And so she thought about this whole idea of making friends on Facebook and realizing that perhaps she didn't really know these people who that she was friends with on Facebook. And she started to think about this concept of being a fan versus being a friend of someone. More importantly, she thought about this question of, am I a fan of Jesus or am I a friend of Jesus? Lots of people, right, claim to be a friend of Jesus, but then perhaps some other idea comes along in their life, whatever that distraction might be, another person or a possession or a job, and they start to lose that connection, that friendship with Jesus. Because we realize, right, as disciples of Christ, that there is a cost that comes with following Christ. As Pastor Dan today gave us the invitation to be foolish, that's what this is about. When we read the Beatitudes, they sound so beautiful, right? They heal what aches in us. And then it becomes Monday morning or Tuesday night or Friday night, and we're exhausted. And we think a lot about ourselves, those things that we want in our outer life. And we forget what it means to nourish and to feed our inner life. Because it doesn't just happen. It's not like scrambling some eggs, right, and feeding our hunger or pouring a glass of fresh water with ice. Those things come easily to us. But to feed our soul and to take care of that thirst that we have, it takes, first off, a recognition that I want more from this life. I want this abundant life that Jesus promises us. And the Beatitudes remind us that we have to have that hunger and that thirst each and every day to make this a priority in our lives. Some of us yesterday traveled to Iowa Falls for a workshop with Joe Small, who is a great mind in the Presbyterian tradition. And he talked about the importance of what it means to gather as the body of Christ. Now, when you think about that, most of us wonder, well, what's going to be first in the worship service? That's when we gather. But he encourages us to go back to when the alarm clock goes off on Sunday morning, or maybe your natural body clock like mine goes off, and your eyes pop open and you realize this is Sunday, the day to come together with others who also are attempting to live this foolish life, this upside down life. And the support that we can get when we come together to nourish this inner life, it starts when your eyes open and you think, yay, it's Sunday. I can have coffee. I can have juice. I can see my friends. I can listen to the bell choir all dressed in black. My heart can rest. My heart can be inspired for another week ahead. To imagine these words that Jesus says to us when we hear, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Instead of putting that word blessed there, put the word strength, or strengthened are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Strengthened are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Think about verse 6. Strengthened are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. There's all sorts of power in this world. power in our homes, right? Over who sets the rules for who's going to do what chores. Power at work. Who's the boss? Who's the manager? Who do we listen to? There's power in our city, the mayor, the city council. And up the line we go. When we think about Jesus here in chapter 5, it's really his inaugural address, so to say, to the people that have been following him. When Matthew writes this gospel, he really wants us to focus on the fact that Jesus is a teacher that we need to listen to, a teacher that's going to challenge us, right? Those are the teachers and professors that make us scratch our heads, maybe frustrate us. But those kind of teachers, like Jesus, they change our path for the good. One of those teachers in my life is a man named Parker Palmer. I've never actually sat in his classroom, but I've read many of his books and watched his YouTube lectures. And he is a great mind that focuses on how important it is to nourish our inner heart, our inner life, to ask ourselves every day, how is it with my soul? We know in January, right, we give a lot of attention to exercise, woohoo, and eating right, trying to shed those Christmas pounds. Do we give that same kind of attention to nourishing our heart, our inner life? And that happens in all different ways. But most importantly, it happens in worship. As we sing the hymns, the words of faith, as you listen to the sermon, even the announcements, right, are part of this kingdom of God, of nourishing our life, because we can't do this life alone. And Parker Palmer reminds us of this great quote, "The gift we receive on the inner journey is the knowledge that ours is not the only act in town. We learn that we need not carry the whole load, but we share it with others, liberating us and empowering them. We learn that sometimes we are free to lay the load down altogether. The great community asks us to do only what we are able and trust the rest to other hands." Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you don't give a lot of thought to the congregational annual meeting. But in my brain and my heart, I see this meeting as so vital to what it means to be the body of Christ. One of my colleagues in ministry in Iowa said that he challenges his congregation that he not be the youngest person at the annual meeting. Because often we think, oh, the elders will take care of it. Those people that have been here since 1905. But what Parker Palmer, and more importantly, what Jesus wants us to understand is that we are blessed, we are strengthened when we are the church together. One elder said to me recently, "You know, Tricia, this isn't all on you. The challenges that come to Westminster. And boy, it's hard. It's hard to believe those words. Because when you see head of staff, right, next to your name, it's a lot of responsibility. Some days, a burden. So it is so true that it's not all on my shoulders or Dan's shoulders. The joy of being the community of God is that it's all of us together that are the church. That's the beauty of the church. That's why Christ created the church. It's why it's important to invite others to come and experience what it means to have a faith and a deeper faith each and every day. Palmer goes on to write, "The deeper our faith, the more doubt we must endure. The deeper our hope, the more prone we are to despair. The deeper our love, the more pain its loss will bring." These are a few of the paradoxes we must hold as human beings. If we refuse to hold them in the hopes of living without doubt, despair, and pain, we also find ourselves living without faith, without hope, without love. I don't know about you, but there are days when I have great despair. And I wonder, really, God? Is it true that all things are possible with you? And I sit in that despair, and then I think about the faces, your faces. And they give me hope. So the challenge for us is to be the church, to be each other's hope. As we hear Grace this morning, her sweet, sweet sounds, a baby. Doesn't that give us hope? David Lose is a great writer and preacher. And he tells a story about one of his professors when he was in graduate school. His professor's name was Dr. Cleophas LaRue. And Dr. LaRue would always greet David by Dr. Lose. And one day, David said to him, "But Dr. LaRue, I haven't earned my doctorate yet. I don't think you should call me Dr. Lose." Dr. Lose, he patiently responded, "In the African American church, we are not content to call you what you are, but instead we call you what we believe you will be. We call you what we believe you will be." That's the gift of following Jesus. That there's always this hope of who we'll be as individual children of God and who we will be as Westminster Church. So don't despair. Have hope, have strength that comes from this God who adores us, who's faithful to us, and asks us this question. Will you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you so much for all of the souls who have gathered here this day to be the church. We thank you for the strength that you promise to us, that no matter what level we may find ourselves on this faith journey, how deep, how shallow it might be, you meet us where we are. So thank you for the privilege we have to be your church. Help us to examine our hunger and our thirst and how we build this church through our own inner life each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.